am Hans Gorg Ruprecht. This is CKCU Literary News, the summer program, bringing you an encore from our programs on contemporary literature, aired in three languages earlier this year. Once again with CKCU Literary News senior correspondent Friederike Knabe.
Good morning, Friederike.
Good morning, Hans.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
At the Salon du Livre de l'Outaouais.
Tell me more about that.
Well, this is the most important book fair after the one in Montreal here in the Ottawa region.
Oh, very good.
It brings not only authors and publishers from Quebec, but also from various regions of the Francophone tradition here. And I did a couple of interviews, one very interesting with the director of, the title of the organization is Le Regroupement des Éditeurs Franco-Canadiens, mm-hmm. or Quebec. And I must say, I was quite impressed. They are producing 150 books per year, which is...
Really?
Yes, yes. And what I also learned, now French Canada, let's put it in these terms, is becoming a land of, you know, new literature from all sorts from other parts of the world, you know.
Or particularly maybe Africa?
Yes.
Francophone Africa?
Well, precisely. Or from the Maghreb and
yes.
from the Caribbean, who have immigrated
yes.
to Canada and who continue to write in French and contribute and enrich the French-Canadian tradition. But the major spring event will be the Leipzig Book Fair.
We're just coming up and you will be going, lucky you, and I'll be sitting here.
Well, yes, I have a little bit of luck to be able to go there, and we will talk about this in a moment. And then later in March, we have Le Salon du Livre de Paris, which is, of course, the big event for the Francophone literary world. But you have a few other major fairs in mind?
Yeah, no, then later on in May is the Hay Festival, which is a huge festival in England.
Yes.
And then later on is the Edinburgh Festival in June. And then we get already into summer. And then, of course, there are a number of festivals here in Canada as well, in different cities in Canada, from Ottawa and Kingston
yes.
and Vancouver, and it goes through the year. But I'm going to be kicking it off with Leipzig. Let's kick it off.
Let's do that, because as far as the famous Leipzig Book Fair Prize or prizes are concerned, because we have a prize for, as they say, belletristics, so for literature, and they have a prize for translations and, of course, for essays of all kind. As far as literature goes, my impression is, and maybe you agree, we could share this or could disagree, it is a strong list this year.
I think it's a very strong list
yes.
For a number of reasons.
Okay.
Because we have debut authors, we have experienced authors, we have authors from other countries who
right.
write in German, even though they only arrived in Germany as adults,
yes.
and some of them are already better known probably internationally than they are at this point in Germany.
So is it the case, just as I said, it will be or is already happening in Canada, that Germany, as far as literature goes, is no longer the place where one finds refuge, but where one really becomes a major author for all kinds of reasons, coming from Eastern or from other parts of the world? So Germany...
It's a bit like a magnet, I think.
It's a magnet, yes, it is.
It's a magnet because, of course, as we discussed in other sessions, that we have a number... Germany has a number of prizes, and so do the other German-speaking languages, Austria and Switzerland. They all have very good literary prizes. So there is a possibility to really be known and getting known and accumulate some really important prizes. And we can see that from the list that we're looking at in a moment, that we have authors that already have won other prizes before they get to the Leipzig Buchmesse and are recognized for their most recent work.
Well, let's begin with two authors who are really representing this new literature in German, but with a totally different cultural perspective and experience. And let's not forget, authors who are already well known abroad.
There is Stasza Stanicic, and he is amazing. I mean, he's born in 78 in Bosnia, and he came to Germany in 1992. And his debut novel, which was is Wie der Soldat das Grammophon repariert, how the soldier repaired the gramophone.
Yes.
It was such a success, both amongst readers and critics, that it got one onto the shortlist of the German Book Prize in 2006.
Which is a big one, right?
Which is a big one. But more importantly, it has since been translated into 30 languages.
Wow.
Now, that is absolutely extraordinary. And he has won other prizes since, respective prizes. And even for this new book, which is called Vor dem Fest, ahead of the festival or right. the fair. And this already on the manuscript, he won the Döblin Prize, which is not normal that you get this for a manuscript.
It's a very distinguished.
Which really a very distinguished.
Award.
So it sounds that it's set in a small village in Brandenburg, region of eastern Germany, was probably part of the wider German enclaves in that area, beyond the German borders as well. And it sounds like a fascinating story of ghosts, family ghosts and village ghosts. And so it sounds wonderful, and I can't wait to read it. So that is one. And the other one that is also in that same category is Katya Petrovskaya.
Right.
She was born in 1970 in Kiev. Mm-hmm. And she studied literature in Estonia and made her doctorate in Moscow. Came mm-hmm. to Germany and lives in Berlin in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And she also writes in German. She writes as a journalist in German and Russian. And Katya Petrovskaya already won an award, which is a very prestigious Ingeborg Bachmann Prize, which we also talked about
yes,
several times.
Yes. Well, let's reiterate this a little bit, because the Ingeborg Bachmann Prize is given to authors who participate in a festival in Klagenfurt in Austria. And once you have received the Bachmann Prize, you are on the ladder up.
Because up to the big prizes.
To the big prizes.
Yeah.
It is an important prize.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, interesting that she won it for a story.
Right.
Under the same title of the novel. So it probably was mm-hmm. the beginning of the novel. And now she's written the novel, which is called, in Deutsch, Vielleicht Esther. Esther, maybe.
Yes.
And the story,
interesting title, right?
It's a very interesting title.
So tell us more about it.
And it's a family story about a Jewish and Ukrainian background.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written in short chapters or episodes, vignettes,
mm-hmm.
With a first-person narrator reflecting on whether it's all right to write about what she's writing about, and whether she is really the person she seems to be, and the story is maybe true or not. So it sounds quite a fascinating book as well. And her book has also been already optional for translation in 13 countries.
Fantastic. I would like to get your understanding of this possible and widely known hesitation, at least for some writers, to wonder whether one should, must, or should not touch certain topics, particularly those pertaining to the experience of Jews in Europe. Is it still, well, difficult for authors to say, well, I would like to write about the ways members of my family were persecuted, or how neighbors of my family participated in the persecution of Jews? Is it still, so to speak, problematic, or what is your take?
It's difficult to generalize, I think.
Yes,
I think
you're right.
There is a need of authors, like anybody else for that matter, to come to terms with their own past and their yes. wider the surroundings of their past, whether mm-hmm. it's parents, grandparents, uncles, the wider community. And I think there is a need for them to really debate and explore where they're coming from and that goes for Jewish background, former Nazi background, any background. We have to come to terms with what happened before. There are some people who criticize that and think that we should come up with new ideas and different ideas. And there are authors who do that, who write very different stories. But if we go back to the list of the shortlisted candidates, there is one author.
This is
in
the
here.
Point I wanted
yes,
to make.
I know you wanted to get to that. We'll get there. And of course, there's one historian amongst the shortlist who is more an academic, but he wrote a novel based on his own family history, and his name is Peer Leo. Yeah, you will make a comment about the title, and the German title is Flut und Boden.
Flood and Soil. No.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's have a little comment about that, and then we come to the story, right? It means immediately for a German reader that one must think of blood and soil, Blut und Boden, namely the idea of connecting the people in the land, and particularly the rural population, farmers, to the ethnically defined idea that blood and soil go together. Now, the phrase Blut und Boden was indeed the catchphrase for the entire agricultural ideology of the Nazis.
Yes, it was.
Now, if one says in German Flut und Boden, I mean, you cannot help but be reminded of Blut und Boden. So what is, Frederike, what is Peer Leo's novel Flood and Soil all about?
It is a family history, as I mentioned, based on his own family. It's set in Bremen, so the flood comes in that way as well. There is lots of water, because Bremen have been a seafaring town for a long time and a harbor. And so he explores the role of one of the Nazi, of the SS officers, who was his grandfather, and the grandfather's brother, who is his great uncle, and contrast the two characters and how they dealt with the situation at the time. And he could not help feeling a great affection for his uncle rather than for his grandfather. So he explores that whole situation.
Which means that it is still a question of concern and, let's say, also interest in both directions.
Yes.
Talking about the victims, also talking about those who have endured the persecution during the Third Reich, and those who are responsible for criminal acts. Well, one knows all the facts. One has seen the movies, and this is not the question, but I think there is an emotional kind of complexity and public awareness as to what one wants to know or should know or should not know. And it's still coming out, right?
Oh, it has to. It has to come out. Yes. And I think in this one, he really wants to show how it is splitting families, because they're two brothers. One goes one way and one goes the other way. Mm-hmm. And how they deal with that struggle. Because, I mean, that is something that I think for many of us, that is still a question, how some family members behaved so differently from others.
Now, we still have two authors to introduce here. Well, one is very well known. We have discussed him in earlier broadcasts. But I am delighted to see a debut novel by Fabian Hischmann under the title Am Ende schmeißen wir mit Gold. In the end, we throw gold around.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun novel, actually.
I think
Because it's a story of a teacher who has to look after his parents' old house.
Uh-huh.
And while he's looking after it, all sorts of ghosts appear from the past, and obviously dancing around and doing crazy things. And eventually, the gold comes into the picture too. So it sounds like he's done is with surprising maturity. He's written the novel, and the critics praise his style and his approach to the story. And well, we should do mention the well-known author
Martin Moserbach. Yeah,
so he's been awarded with numerous very, very well-known prizes,
including the
Büchner Prize and the Kleist Prize. And so his new novel is also a very interesting family drama, and it's called Das Blutbuchenfest, translating the Red Beach Festival, which
party.
Yeah, big party, which is organized by some somewhat shady character to raise money to pay off his debts. And he invites the Frankfurt bourgeoisie to his crazy party. One of the characters is Ivona, who is a cleaning lady who comes from Bosnia and who cleans in all these people's houses. And he contrasts this crazy festival, which is apparently pretty wild, with the beginning of the Balkan Wars, 1991. And this contrast is what he really wants to explore.
Now, it's an exploration of a new world, but it's also an opening to Eastern Europe. And I am quite impressed that Martin Moserbach is precisely venturing into this part of Europe and into this in its recent history, the war in former Yugoslavia. What is your guess? Could he get the prize?
Well, I would think my guess is that probably not. One, he is of course highly rewarded already with awards,
yes,
and maybe this year is a year where we where the judges will think about either Katya Petrovskaya or Sasha Stanisic as the younger generation who really established themselves in the German language literary scene. And both have obviously done great, great strides there. I know there's a popular poll going around about the shortlist, and both Katya and Sasha are on the top list for the popular vote. But who knows? But I mean, we're not the judges. We'll
find out.
When you get there, you will know.
Yes, I can even send you a soundtrack that you know right away what happened at the award-giving ceremony. Now, Katya Petrovskaya's novel and work is particularly interesting this year because of what's happening in Ukraine, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, the crisis is, I mean, we can't go into that now.
No,
that's
of course
a long
not.
History for this crisis, but it will be very interesting, and that might really also influence the judges in a way. But I'm generally interested, if you look at last year's German Book Prize with Theresia Mora, who was Hungarian background, and also came as an adult to Germany and won the book prize. Now, her books are now being translated into English, and she's really made a big name for herself and internationally, which is really wonderful to see that it doesn't stay with Germans. And that brings me to one aspect, which I think is a new trend, to really spend more energy on trying to get books translated into English, because English readers, whether in England or in North America or in the other rest of the Asian or the English-speaking world, they tend to read in English. And books tend to sort of disappear if they don't get English language publishers. And it's nice to know that there is an energy re-energized to work on translations. And I just want to mention one very recent project, which is a cooperative of writers, editors, publishers, small publishing houses, translators, who have founded an organization called And Other Stories. And they go really out to look for books. And then they have subscribers and members of their network so that they get financing for the translation of those books. And that is a new idea that the translators don't get rich, but they have a fixed income for these translations, and they do it for the love of translating and the promotion of this literature. And I think that's a wonderful global initiative to bring words from different cultures together, which is one way of learning to appreciate other people and other people's thinking.
In this context, I would like to remind us again of this fascinating project in Poland run by John A. Beckett under the name New Europe Writers.
Yes.
A team of authors, but also translators, who are bringing forth young Polish writers, but also writers from Czechoslovakia, from Ukraine, in translation, with interesting thematic perspectives on, for instance, life in cities. This is
By theme. That's
by
interesting
theme.
Too.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So they have a string of texts and series devoted to major cities in Central Eastern Europe. See? Well, Friederike, we are looking forward, of course, who is getting the prize,
yes.
Right? And I will tell you all about. And we have another session on that, and till then I wish you a good start in the spring in,
yes.
in our part of the world,
with warmer weather. And you have a good time, and
yes.
Do some good interviews with people.
Of course I will,
and bring that back to us so we can all listen to it.
Thank you very much again. Okay
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That was CKCU Literary News, a regular program about literatures in Europe today, brought to you by CKCU FM 93.1, the community-based campus radio of Carleton University in Ottawa, Canada. We can be heard worldwide. Simply go to http://carleton.ca/litnews/ for streaming and podcast. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter under CKCU Lit News in one word. Thanks for listening.